The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, one day Mrs. Wells and I will sing that way in heaven, and I'm excited about that day. That's going to be exciting. Take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 15 and look at verse 36 there. The Bible says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Now, this verse alone is really neat because you understand that there was a day when Paul, not being known as the Apostle Paul, but being rather known as Saul, was a persecutor of the church. And you remember a day when he decided he wanted to join himself to the disciples. And the disciples were very fearful of him. And there was a man that interceded for him by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas said, "You need not to be afraid of him. I watched him. I watched him, of course, as he has delivered the word of God. I've watched all that he's done." And he interceded for that which is Paul and said, "I want you to be able to receive him." He's a new believer. And, of course, later on, God began to use him in a marvelous way, and God began to guide him, and Paul began to surrender his life more and more. And by the way, the more you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the more he'll use you. And the Bible talks here about how now it comes time, and here's the neat thing about it. Here was that which was Saul, persecutor of the church. God saved, and by the way, when God saves people, God changes people. And so he received Jesus Christ as Savior, and after he received Jesus Christ as Savior, he began to grow in the Lord. Now the role changes. This is really neat. You say, how long do you have to walk around trying to help a baby Christian? Well, until the baby Christian learns to walk on their own. That's how long you'll walk around trying to help a baby Christian. Here you can see now Paul is taking the initiative. And Paul is saying now back to Barnabas. By the way, Barnabas is the one that mentored him. Barnabas is the one that got him close to the disciples. Barnabas is the one that interceded for him. And now it changes the role. Notice again in verse 36, Acts 15, the Bible says that some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, it says, "Let us go again and visit," it says, "our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." So now Paul is taking leadership role. Now Paul is not having to be led, but rather now Paul is leading. That means that somebody did their job in helping Paul to grow. Look at verse 37 in Acts 15. The Bible says, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John," the Bible says, "whose surname was Mark, and Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who had departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." Verse 39, the Bible says, "And the contention was sharp between them, and they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus." And Paul, in verse 40, chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So we see the story here, how we understand the unfolding of this, and they were on a missionary journey. And as they were on the missionary journey, this young man by the name of John Mark, that was the very nephew of Barnabas. Barnabas was his uncle. And so now they're traveling there with the Apostle Paul, and they're heading over to a very dangerous area that's called Pamphylia. And as they reach this area of Pamphylia, all of a sudden, John Mark, for some reason, turns back. Now, the Bible does not say, and so if a person says, "Well, I know why he turned back, you know, because of this, that, or the other," you don't know. It's all speculation. It might be like Demas. Maybe he loved this present world. I don't know. It might be that maybe fear overtook his heart. Not really sure about that. Might be that he got homesick. Not sure about that either. We do know that Pamphylia was a very dangerous place to visit at this time in history. So we know that it was a dangerous place. Now I want to speak to you this morning on to turn or not to turn. I'm going to show you the danger that you face as an individual, the danger that you face as a parent, the danger that you face as a person that Somebody else is watching if you take some wrong turns in your life. You notice here that they're heading out to this missionary journey, and as they're heading on this missionary journey, that which is John Mark, no doubt younger than the other men that was there, all of a sudden now he decides that he is going to turn back. Now, by the way, when he turned back, he missed a lot of blessings. When he turned back, he was not able to see all the churches that God had used these men to be able to start and these men to be able to encourage. Those that are turned backers many times, they miss the very good things of God. Paul and Barnabas, of course, completed their journey, and they return now to that which is Antioch. As they get back to Antioch, there comes time lapses by, getting ready to take another missionary journey. As they prepare to take this missionary journey, the Apostle Paul is getting ready to take Barnabas, and they're going to go on their way. And Barnabas said, well, hey, why don't we take John Mark? Why don't we let my nephew come one more time? And all of a sudden, Paul spoke up, and he said, now, no, I don't think that's a good idea. After all, we were on that other missionary journey, and John Mark decided that he was going to turn around and leave. And Paul, no doubt, Paul was looking at this individual and thinking, well, maybe I just can't trust him. I mean, after all, he turned once. What would be to say that he would not turn again? And so maybe I better not trust him. And by the way, by your fruits you're known. All right? And so, if a person starts something and they quit, and then they start something and they quit, and they start something and they quit, sometimes what you're doing is you're laying a foundation for somebody to look at you along the way and say, well, you know, oh, should I even try and get them to start again? I mean, after all, they're a quitter. All right? And this was the testimony of John Mark. John Mark was known for somebody, for some reason, he quit. And so the Apostle Paul is looking at him and saying, you know what, Barnabas, I know this is your nephew, and I know you're the uncle, and I know that you are probably close together, but I would just rather not take him. Interesting story as it unfolds, because Barnabas decided to take John Mark and go back to Cyprus. Cyprus was where they were born, in that area. So he decided to go back. So not only when John Mark quit the first time did it ruin him from getting the blessing, but now it divides two preachers, whereby now Barnabas is not going to get the blessing either. See, you have to be very, very careful in making decisions, because the decisions that you make in your life will also affect somebody else. I could see somewhere along the line that John Mark got discouraged. Maybe he was disgruntled. Maybe, like I said a moment ago, a fear occupied his heart. Maybe all of a sudden now John Mark had a homesickness. Maybe he got physically sick. I don't know. Mere speculation, just like you would speculate. But one thing we do know, that John Mark did not complete the mission. And because John Mark did not complete the mission, we know now, when it comes time to take that other mission, that Barnabas decides that he is going to side with his nephew rather than taking the trip, whereby now you had two people that was going to miss the blessing. You have to be very, very careful. Hey, think about all the blessings that was missed on this particular missionary journey as Paul is now going and as he is taking Silas with him. They got to visit the churches that were at Troas. They got to see God's mighty hand of blessing. They went over to Pamphylia. They got to see the works there. They went over to that which was Thessalonica, and they saw the work there. They saw the work at Ephesus. They saw the work in Corinth. They saw the work at Athens. I mean, all these mighty places where God's hand was working without restraint. Now, Barnabas missed seeing that. John Mark missed seeing that. Let me give you some statements about whether to turn or not to turn. Statement number one, somebody here we see turned back. It was John Mark. So this individual that turned back, now again, we don't know why he turned back. Might have been backslid. Might have had fear. I mean, after all, Pamphylia was a place of danger at that time. He might have got homesick for mama's apron. I don't know. He might have got homesick for mama's good cooking. I don't know. He might have been a mama's boy. Don't know. Might have been somebody that just did not have old-fashioned bulldog tenacity. Might have been somebody that couldn't stand on his own 2 feet, needed somebody to pamper him, walk him along, hold his hand, burp him, say it's going to be okay, you can make it. I don't know. I do know this, that John Mark decided that he was going to turn back. Now let me tell you, you ought to decide that you're going to stay when you're lonely. Just stay. You know, in an independent Baptist church, can I tell you, that's a soul-winning church like our church, we average, on a yearly basis, about 210 people go out soul-winning every week. But can I tell you, everybody's excited about living for God, but sometimes even in a good, strong, old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hellfire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church, sometimes you can get lonely. We try and do things first class around here. I was talking to Brother Darrell a few minutes ago as he was in my Sunday school class. We were fellowshipping after Sunday school. I said, you know, a church can have class without compromise. Amen. Normally in our day, here's what you see. You see when a church begins to get class, they begin to compromise. Not so here. Not so here. But now, wait a minute, watch this. Here you see that here was an individual that turned back. Sometimes it is lonely serving God. Our Lord Jesus faced that. Sometimes you do go through some depressing times. Welcome to the world. Sometimes you do have financial drains. Sometimes there is the hurting heart. Sometimes there is the misunderstandings. Sometimes you may get mad. Sometimes, by the way, you might get glad. Sometimes there's the blessing. Sometimes there's the confusion. Why is that? Because welcome to humanity. You're not going to meet a perfect person sitting here today. Not going to do it. If you hang around them long enough and they sweat, they'll stink. You're not going to meet a perfect person. By the way, you're not going to have a perfect preacher. Man, I went to church and all of a sudden I was disappointed. It might be that you were looking for more than should have been expected. You ever hear the preacher get up and mispronounce a word? Now, all the guys back here are saying no. That's because they don't listen at all. Okay? But can I tell you, hey, you ever hear a preacher get up and tell a joke? I tried to tell a joke 2 Sundays ago, and Brother Lovell, it went flat. I'm a very poor joke teller. Man, I was just hoping somebody would smile, encourage me a little bit. I got so, it was just so bad. I looked at my wife and I said, honey, we're heading out to eat. We frequent McAllister's over here. In the city after we get done here in the morning time. And so we're heading to McAllister's, pretty much the same path as we take. And I looked over and I said, honey, that joke just wasn't all that good, was it? And she said, no. Now I'm saying, look, here's what you can do. You can listen, you can't come to church and all of a sudden be at church all the time and think it's going to be a merry-go-round. Can't do it. Brother Wislowski said, man, I'm thankful. We were in the gym last night, and he said, man, I'm thankful for the teaching time on Wednesday night. He said, but I'll tell you what, man, I love that old-fashioned preaching that we get at Parkside Baptist Church Sunday morning and Sunday night. And by the way, can I tell you, it always ought to be that way. Listen, the Bible is true, and God is true, and you can trust your Bible, and you can take and read it, you can memorize it, you can live by it, and can I tell you, children, it is worth it. Amen. What you have to do is you have to decide to stay when you're lonely, stay when you're depressed, stay when you're financially drained, stay when you're hurting, stay when you don't understand something, stay when you get mad, stay when you get glad, stay when you're blessed, stay when you're confused. Just stay. You know, you stay married, though there's hard times. You stay in love. You stay obedient. You stay kind. You stay rejoicing. You stay enthused. You stay, if you will, in the area of soul winning and being separated and being faithful. Listen, if you're always not moving forward as you're standing up for Christ, then what's taking place is you're moving backwards. In my book, that's called backsliding. Stay prayerful, stay hopeful, stay interested, stay on fire for God, stay close to God. I'm saying statement number one, somebody turned back. Statement number two, turning back did cause divisions. It did cause divisions. Now, by the way, whether it's a child turning back or a spouse, it'll cause divisions. It will. Brother Craig, stand, hold your Bible, picture of God. Here it is. Brother Palmore, come, stand beside me. All of a sudden, we're walking, and as we're walking, he turns back. I go to fellowship, can't find him, don't know where he's at. I look back, he's sitting in the chair, not serving God. And I think, man, come on. Here's the problem. Instead of trying to lasso him, pull him my way, get him on my ground, here's what the average Christian does. They'll go over, they sit down beside the fire, they talk, they eat their peanuts, they talk about all these things. Hey, oh, wait a minute, watch this. If you're not careful, you'll wind up where he is. Don't forget it was Peter. Oh, you have this. Don't forget it was Peter that followed afar off. Then he found himself sitting beside the devil's fire. When you start to follow afar off, hey, there should be an indicator goes off here. That's called the Holy Ghost. That indicator goes off here. Listen to me, dear friend. That indicator goes off. That Holy Spirit, when he says something's not right, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to pay attention. It's time to get back on fire for God. And you just decide you're going to go forward and accomplish the will of God for your life. Amen. Thank you, men. Be seated. You know, we have to decide that we're not going to be the one that turns back. And by turning back, we cause divisions. We cause divisions. Think about this. If John Mark never would have turned back on that first missionary journey, think about Barnabas would have never even thought of turning back on the second. Never would have even thought it. If John Mark never would have turned back, there would have never been strife between Paul and Barnabas. If John Mark never would have turned back, you know what every preacher's dream is? Let me tell you, because I is one. Every preacher's dream is to have God's people fully dedicated. That's every preacher's dream. Where you don't have to go wake them up in the morning, drag them out of bed, and say it's time for Sunday school. Come on. Where you don't have to worry about them. I sit up here. Don't get mad at me when I say this. I'm just telling you what I do. I sit up here and I look out. And I write down the names. Okay, who's missing? Who's missing? I write their names down. So why are you doing that, preacher? Number one, where I can pray for them. Number two, where I can pursue them. Hey, you got a preacher that's a hound dog. You start missing a lot of services, somebody's showing up at your door. Say, so you ought not to do that. Hey, we care. Amen. We love you. I want you to grow in Christ. I want you to be that person that gets victory in your life. You say, well, you're not the only church, but for you it is. Amen. Hey, if you joined it, be proud of it, attend it, be faithful to it, grow in it, let God speak to your heart. I went down to Cooper Clinic the other day. I had one main doctor. But I visited about 11 other doctors in the way of meeting with the final doctor that was going to give me the total analysis. Now watch this. There was one guy that was in charge of my case. My case. You ever see the church hoppers? Church hoppers never grow. They go from one diet to another diet. You know what you need to do? You just need to die to yourself. Get plugged in the church. Stop trying to find something that's perfect, because when you join it, you're going to imperfect it. And just plug in. I'm saying this. I'm saying somebody turn back. Turning back caused division. When a person turns back, it makes people scratch their head and say, wonder what's wrong with them. When a person turns back, it makes other people think, well, maybe I need to turn back too. I like the song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. I like the song, onward, Christian soldier. Like the song, rouse them soldiers, rally round the banner. Man, I like those type of songs. Why? Because that has a forward march. When John Mark turned back, he was turning back against authority. He was putting two spiritual people in his life, one against the other. There's dangers in turning back. Statement number three, division caused two men to miss the will of God for their lives because of division. Hey, be careful, be careful. Be careful. Be careful about going over to somebody's house, meeting somewhere, you know, and all of a sudden they start to have preacher for lunch. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, you do not have a perfect preacher. So I don't believe that. Ask my wife. Ask my children. Ask the staff. Ask my staff if I ever forget things. Wow. You know, I ask my staff if I forget people's birthdays and anniversaries. Woo! You know, ask my staff if I forget about it. Hey, look, you got an imperfect preacher. Now, the good thing about that, when you have an imperfect preacher, he doesn't expect you to be perfect either. So he'll give you some grace. I think that as mature Christians, you need to understand and you need to learn to divide your preferences from your convictions. Your convictions are principally driven. Your preferences are personality driven. Understand the difference. A man has a preference. It's because he's got a personality. That's something he prefers. By the way, preferences always change. Every preacher has different preferences. Did you know that? Every businessman, we have many business executives that attend our church, they have different preferences for their business. Did you know that? But that which is preferences are different from that which is convictions. Convictions should not change. Convictions are based on the principles of the Word of God. Now I'm saying though, division here caused these men to miss the will of God. Barnabas and John Mark decided, hey, we're going to not go on this one. We're going to go somewhere else. Look at all the blessings they missed. Statement number one, somebody turned back. Statement number two, turning back causes division. Statement number three, division causes two men to miss the will of God for their lives. Statement number four, and let me give you some, let me show you, if I may, in this, how never to turn back. How never to turn back. Well, for simple application, let me give it just to you this way. Statement number one, how never to turn back. Statement number one, learn to overlook things that are not doctrinal. Well, you know, I don't think they should have put silver there. That one should have been gold. I don't think those leaves should have been brown. They would look better green. Well, I tell you, that speaker they've got right there, be better if it was brown and matched the platform. That carpet they got, can you imagine? It makes me kind of loopy in the head when I stare at it. Those pews, they got too much padding in them. I like the old-timey pews, just wood. After all, I'm a man. Can't stand the balcony. Now I have to see the preacher when I look. As I look through that which is the balcony. Man, the lights. Now that we got new lights, they're too bright. I liked it when I was sitting in the dark. After all, then preacher couldn't see my face. You know, you can always bellyache about something. You can. Man, I wish we had a white piano, but it's black. Preacher must be prejudiced against white people. I can't believe we got brown chairs that's up there in the choir. Why did he choose brown? Doesn't match what I thought it should match. Why has he got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 pillars? Why didn't he stop at 6? Man, I can't believe it. Other day, I walked down the hallway. Somebody spilt something in the hallway. Nobody's cleaned it up yet. Man, I got stranded in one of the commode sections. No toilet paper, sat there for 3 hours. Hey, you know, you can always find something. You can. Well, somebody didn't shake my hand. Somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody, I watched them shake my hand. I wish they wouldn't have. Man, that person smiles too big. That person doesn't smile at all. They have a personality sub-zero. That person's always telling funny things, never serious in their life. Can't believe it. Every time they come to church, they sit in the balcony. Can't believe it. Every time they come to church, they sit on the ground floor. Can't believe it. Every time they come to church, they come too late. Can't believe it. Every time they come to church, they come too early. I just can't understand it. Why is the temperature the way it is in the church? Man, I went into the bathroom. Can you believe it? They're clean. I mean, come on. This is not a normal Baptist church. They have clean bathrooms. Hey, come on. I'm saying this. You know, you can learn to overlook some things that's not doctrinal. Man, can you believe it? They have a Christmas tree. Matter of fact, they got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And who knows who else has one? Oh, and they have lights on it. Oh, couldn't they use electricity more better than that? I can't believe it. Hey, look, I love you, but in the name of the Lord, get over it. Look, don't be somebody that's always looking for the bad. God has been good to you. God has taken care of you. God has blessed you. Hey, get past that which is a stuck up look. Get past that. Help somebody. Love somebody. Encourage somebody. Motivate somebody. Inspire somebody. Be beside somebody. Meet somebody's needs. Now, I'm saying this. Hey, learn to get over the things that are not doctrine. I can't believe the choir is going to sing tonight. Couldn't we have a cantata without a choir? No. Man, I can't believe Brother Craig, the tie he has on today, I don't like it. The shoes that Brother Jonathan has on today, horrible. The hairdo that Brother Palmore has in place today bothers me. Brother Wislowski sits there like he knows everything. Ooh. Then you got Brother Butler always smiling. Just always smiling. Just bothers me. Then you got Brother Crutcher comes in on Sunday night and he's over there in the Spanish department. He probably doesn't even know English. Bothers me. You got Brother Yao running the A, the B, and the C bus ministries. Man, why is that guy? He's too busy. He's just doing that for a show. Hello? I'm saying this. Learn to get over things that are not doctrinal. Learn to get over when all of a sudden a lady in the church doesn't please you. Learn to get over when a Sunday school teacher disappoints you. Learn to give people some grace to grow a little bit when a bus captain doesn't meet their goal, though you didn't even help. Learn to forgive your husband. Learn to forgive your wife. Learn to forgive your children. You know, in my opinion, Paul and Barnabas should have never fought. They should have never fought. In my opinion, they showed Christian immaturity in their individual lives. Paul should have welcomed John Mark back. After all, it was Barnabas that salvaged Saul's hide. He should have practiced what somebody else practiced in his life when he was just starting out fresh, new, green behind the ears. You think about this. Man, there could have been four people out soul winning. Now there's only two. All because of division. There could have been four people out preaching. Now there's just two. All because of division. There could have been four people praying earnestly for God's power. Now there's only two. Two walking away, disgruntled. Two staying by the stuff. By the way, noteworthy, after this episode in their life, that which is Barnabas and John Mark, never mentioned again. Wonder why. Most of the time when you have somebody, isn't it true, Brother Lovell? Most of the time when you have somebody who leaves the church the wrong way, oftentimes more than not, you just don't hear much about them anymore. Wonder why. Watch this. I'm saying you learn to overlook some things that's not doctrinal. Statement number two, you become consumed with a purpose, not a person. Hello? Don't be consumed with a person. You know what we got in fundamentalism? I'm sorry, but it's true. Slap us. We deserve it. Here's what we got. I'll use Brother Butler this time. Stand up. Here's what we got. We got what we call preacher worship. Say, where'd you learn that, Brother Wislowski? Here's what you do. You want everybody's personality to be like yours. My Bible says some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Stand up, Brother Wesso. Watch this. Brother Wesso's been here for a long time. How many years? Okay. 42. Okay. Been here a long time. I don't know. How many years? Come on, talk to me. 10 years. Okay, watch this. How long have you been here?
Five.
5 years. That's half the amount of time as him. That's double the amount of time as him.
Yeah.
But he would be wrong to hold that over his head. He'd be wrong. He'd be wrong. These are brothers in Christ. All right, how old are you?
46.
Had to think. How old are you?
45.
45. You're 1 year older than him.
Yeah.
Means probably you know more.
Yeah.
Did I pick the right guy or what? I mean, come on. But he has no right to hold that over his head. You understand where I'm going? See, here's what we understand. Stay there. Here's what we understand. You know, you can become consumed with a person. I've had the privilege to hang around some of the greatest preachers in fundamentalism. I've had the privilege to preach on the platform with several of them. You know what I learned that? I learned this. They all put their shoes on the same way. Do you know that? Man, I've been to their hotel rooms. They don't make their beds. They don't clean up after themselves. Some of them's got bad habits. Then lower my respect. I realize men are men at best. You know, we have people sitting in this room. You got hurt years ago in a Baptist church somewhere. And for that reason, you have held that against God all these years and you've never gone back. Shame on you. You don't treat Walmart that way. Come across a cashier, she chews you out. I'm having fun at Christmas time. I love it. Say, Merry Christmas. They say, you too. I said, no, 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 no. Repeat after me. So why are you doing that? Because somebody has to help them. Come on. Here's what you got. All of a sudden, when these By the way, two is stronger than one. Here you've got over 80 years worth of wisdom. Separate them, only a little over 40 years worth of wisdom. Put them together, you got much more wisdom. Come on. See, what makes a church strong is everybody pulling the same direction together. It's what makes a church strong. I played sports when I was in high school. Coach always told us, the team is only as strong as the, talk to me, as the weakest link. So we all tried not to be the weakest link. We'd always pick on the guy that was. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. Okay. Become consumed with a purpose, with a principle, instead of that which is a person or a personality. You know what I love about our church? Everybody's welcome. Watch me. We're going to take time with people. Now, you may be impatient, but you have a pastor that's patient. So I'm going to allow people to grow without jerking their heads and cutting their heads off. I'm allowing them to grow. I see stuff. Are you ready? Here we go. You ready? You won't believe this. But I see stuff in the church that totally displeases me. Totally. You? Yeah, me. But I'm not going to jerk the wheel, get a machete, and go head hunting. I'm not going to do it. Say, why not? Because it's not the proper way to do it. I'm going to be gracious to somebody. I'm going to grow somebody. I can't believe so-and-so made that decision. They ought to be more mature than that. Then you ought to be more mature than the way you're acting. You don't cut somebody. Stab somebody. You don't do that. You love them. You pray for them. You back off. And say, okay, I'm here for you if you need me. You ready? Here it is. Ready? Learn to overlook things that are not doctrinal. Statement number two, I'm talking about ways, if you will, please, not to let this overcome you. Become consumed with a purpose, principle, not a person or personality. Statement number three, you ready? I'm done. Here it is. Always do your duty. One of the best things my dad ever taught me in my life, live by schedule. Hey, I'm going to be in church whether I had a bad Sunday last Sunday or not. It's part of my life. It's in my DNA. I'm going to be here Sunday night whether I enjoyed Sunday morning or not. Hey, it's who I am. That's who I am. Made decisions many years ago. When I became a Christian at the age of 19, I wrote my old brown Bible, never miss church. That was one of my life decisions. Read Bible daily. Pray every day. Lead people to the gospel. Help people to grow. Forgive always. We took Daniel and Edna out. They're getting married on Friday. We do something for couples around here as husband and wife, my dear wife and I. We like this. We just started it not too long ago, but we like it. It's called the Last Supper. So when people get married, when they go through my counseling, premarital counseling, I always say, now, the last time we're going to counsel is going to be Mrs. Wells and I. We'll take you out to eat anywhere you want to eat. And we will pay for it now. And you get to ask any questions that you want to. Any questions that you want to. So we took Daniel and we took Edna out for their last supper. We were sitting down there and they picked salt grass down here. And so we sat down and we were eating. And afterwards, we allowed them to ask questions, as many, and we just opened the counter and said, well, we're here for you. We're here for you. If you want to take an hour, you want to take 2 hours, 3, what, it doesn't matter. You know, we're here for you. And so they could have us that afternoon or whatever, and so we allowed them to ask as many questions as they wanted to me or to my wife, to be able to help start a absolutely wonderful journey as a married couple. And so we're sitting there, my wife, I said, well, honey, you have any insights? And she said, be careful not to use words such as always and never. You're always late. You're never on time. You're always giving excuses. You're never kind. Now, can I tell you, listen to me and I'm done. Be somebody, however, and you can say this way, that I always will serve Jesus Christ and give it your best. Put it in your schedule. Look, you got to live by schedule. You have to. Sunday morning, check. Be there. Sunday night, check. Be there. Now, don't use the always as the negative, like my dear wife was talking about. You know, don't put that in somebody's face. But in living for Christ, why not just decide you're going to live for Him until you die? Just decide, hey, man, here it is. And by the way, watch this. I'm done. One more rabbit trail. I'm done. As your kids go through these times, don't give up on them. Because eventually the ride will come to an end. Don't forget, prodigal son, there came a day when he came to himself. But you got to stay with him. You got to love him. You got to help them. That's the way I view church members. All of a sudden somebody says something, I say, ah, man, had a bad day, didn't they? Had a bad day. Think in my heart, had a bad day. But that's okay, tomorrow's coming. Oh, they didn't get victory about that. Oh, but that's okay, that's all right. We still got life ahead. It's all right. Well, they didn't arrive there yet. Oh, but that's okay, that's all right. I still got time to work with them. It's okay. We'll make it. Oh, but they hadn't got that truth yet. Oh, but that's okay. That's all right. I'll be preaching probably by the time that I die from this pulpit, at least another 4,000 times. I'll probably get it one time. Come on. I'm saying this morning. I'm saying it's very important that you and I decide not to turn.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.